We thank God for all he do for us. Often we are negligent when it comes to giving God praise with the fruits of our lips, amen, for what he's doing for us when we can't do for ourselves. I'm more aware now than ever of the need of God in my life, and to understand how important it is to maintain that relationship with God. For God is able, and God is good, not just summertime, but God is good
all the time.
All of the time. This morning, if you're visiting with us, we want you to know you are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience, and we appreciate you being in our audience this morning. Whether you're listening to us on the live streaming or you're listening to us via conference call, we are here present with us. We thank you so very much for your presence, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are the VIP of our audience today. We pray that you will receive God's word with meekness, for it's able to save your precious souls. In the Church of the Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. Is that not right, Holland Heights?
Amen.
And every word of the Bible is right. We believe it from the front to the back, from Genesis to Revelation. And we are afraid to add to it or take away from it. For it is God who said through this book, if any man add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, God would add unto him plagues that are written in this book. And then he said, if any man would take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God would take his part out of the book of life. And I don't want that, do you?
Amen.
Amen. So what we believe is that Jesus suffered on the cross. God loved us. And the way he demonstrated his love, he commended it toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die on that cross. But he didn't just die, he suffered. And that's the ringing love of the message of God, is that his son suffered that we could have hope of eternal life. And that 6 hours on the cross was a dreadful, horrible 6 hours of excruciating pain. And we believe he did that. We never saw that with our eyes. We believe it because this book tells us that. And that's why our faith is based on what we read. We don't feel for faith. We don't get around feeling our way around to my feel like this or that. No, we believe it because it says it. And so we believe that they took him down and buried him in a tomb. And we didn't witness that at either. We read that from this book, that they buried him in a borrowed tomb. That was sealed, amen. But early on a Sunday morning, he rose with power. And then he gave the command that all men, women, boys, and girls need to hear, that go in the world to the preachers of the gospel and preach this good news of the suffering Savior, that he that believed in his baptized, he said, would be saved. I believe that. How many of you believe that men baptized? You believe?
Amen.
Yeah, if you believe that you believe, you never saw, you basing it on something you read. Now, because if something in this book's not right, what makes Jesus truth? Amen. Because it's all in the same book. Is that true? Yeah. And then baptism washes away sins, Acts 2:38. So if you hear today, you say, I'm trying to get my life right with God. Well, the beginning of that is being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's what happened when you get baptized. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Now, some out there tell you in the denominational world and other preachers that don't believe quite this book is everything's right, and they'll tell you baptism does not save you. But that's not, see, they don't believe like Peter believed. Peter said baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Peter said, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save us. So those preachers don't believe like the apostles. Amen. Yeah. So you got to believe, you got to side that these men that were there with Jesus, they got the information from him. And if he told us to get baptized, we got to get baptized. Is that right?
Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Church of Christ. Yeah, stick with the truth. It'll be all right. Yeah, we're trying to get to heaven. The whole thing about coming to this place or listening to a man like me every Sunday is that we're trying to get to heaven. Is that right, y'all? That's what we're trying to do. Now, we already know we're going to die. No, nobody need no Bible to prove that to us, do we? No. But then we got to believe that there's something after death, and we got to prepare for that. And that's why baptism is so essential. And when your sins are washed away, then the Lord adds you to the body of Christ, the church. The only one you read about in the Bible is the Church of Christ. That's the only one in there. I don't say that to put others down. I say that because others are not in the book. That's not a put down. That's just an exclusion, if you will. And we got to exclude them because they're not included. You can't include something that's excluded. I mean, so we're not going to exclude no church that's not reading the Bible. It's excluded. That's all that is. Now, the people are good people. A lot of good people in the world. A lot of wonderful people in the Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Methodist Church. My mom and dad, all of us grew up in the Baptist. But it's not in the book. Yeah, that's the thing about it. See, it's not going to be on the day of judgment. It's got to be you and God. Amen. Walls and life. Yeah, you got to be by you and God at that time. Yeah, it's the only thing. Nobody's going to be there to rescue you. You got to know you believed it and you obeyed it. Is that right? So I always do that at the beginning of my sermon in case somebody died in the middle of it. Hmm. Yeah, at least I got to tell you. Is that right? If you want to walk down now, we'll stop the service and baptize you. Sure will. Yeah, that's the most important thing. Why you say that, Brother Bruce? You mean you'll stop preaching and let them baptize me right now? Yeah, yeah. Because you might not make it next 30 minutes. And I don't want that blood on my shoulder. I shed everything down right here. You just come on, walk down here. We'll take your confession and baptize you. And I'll get up and preach the rest of my sermon. Everybody who's tired of it can leave. But we're going to baptize you. That's for sure. Amen. Yeah, but all the Christians who love God, they're going to be right here. Because there was a day when they had to do it. Amen. The angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. If angels can rejoice, we ought to be jumping over the pews. Well, they seats now, but it used to be pews. That's a good introduction, isn't it?
It is.
Now, I've been doing some Old Testament kind of things, and I know some of these stories you've heard before. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those famous stories. But here's the thing. The reason I've been doing Old Testament is faith building, basic reminders of the God we serve. Man, we're living in a very difficult life, a time period of life. Stuff we've never seen, things we've never witnessed, right? Would you all agree with that? I mean, we see a world filled with, it almost looked like Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. And it really is. It looked like the days of Noah. It does. And men and women have no regard for life. And it seemed like these diseases or plagues and kind of things are coming upon us, the epidemic and pandemic. And you got to know that God's hand is in all of this. His hand is in all of this going on, you know, and we are troubled. So many people are troubled, a lot of troubled people like we talked about, you know, school shootings, rampages and mass shootings. I mean, several just these last few weeks, really. This year been, it's sad, isn't it? And it's sad that we live. And then we have to live the life where, you know, you see the evil acts of the world. Things that, what is wrong with that person? Are they mental? Are all of them crazy? No. I said this last week, I'm saying it again. Some of this stuff, remember, do not forget there is a devil. You choose whom you're going to serve. Anyone who don't choose God, listen carefully to me, you have chosen Satan. That's a choice. Somebody, I ain't going to serve nobody. You're going to serve one or the other. When you don't serve God, you chose to serve the devil. Amen. And so some of this stuff is not mental illness. It's a departure from the teachings of God. Amen. It's evil. It's evil. That's what it is. It's satanic. These evil, dark-minded folk are being fed the devil's bread. That's what's going on, Church of Christ. And the world needs to understand that the cop-out can be a cop-out, but the truth of the matter is you tell us to pray for the school, but you don't want God in the school. Now, that's reverse psychology. When things go bad, let's pray to God. But why we don't want them praying in the school? Why don't we want our children? Why is it more important for our children to learn about homosexuality and accept the LGBT and rather than accept God is still on the throne? That's where I'm at. God is still on the throne. So anyway, so faith building means we got to learn how to deal with all this kind of stuff. Then you got all the physical stuff going on in our bodies, man. People, the older you get, the more you start realizing, man, I got some stuff going on, you know, in that old body. How many of y'all got some stuff going on in your body? Yeah, somebody said, well, I ain't scared of COVID. Yeah, but you still take your blood pressure medicine, I noticed.
Yes, you see, folk, that they want to act like they got all this faith built up, but I guarantee you, you don't have an issue with faith when it comes to taking your insulin. You do it because the doctor said so. Because you don't want to die. So is this a faith issue when we protect and wear this stuff? No, it's not a faith issue. It's a matter of following protocols of what we've been doing all our lives. If that's what the doctor say do, I'm going to do it. How many of y'all taking your BP? You know that blood pressure medicine. You check your glucose lately? How many of y'all are diabetics in here? Raise your hand. Now don't try by faith not to take your insulin. Because you'll go comatose. Yeah, it'll go too high on you. Next thing you know, you're in the ICU. And they're going to say, well, y'all didn't take your medicine. Because, well, I did a foolish thing. Now, so in this chapter here, God who is able, the sermon title is Our God Whom We Serve is Able. That's what I want us to know. We got to know he's able. And Daniel chapter, turn over there briefly. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 8, we're going to start there. This whole story starts at verse 1. But in verse 8, you're going to read the story. I'm going to kind of bring it alive for you, and I'll make a few points, and the lesson's going to be yours this morning. Is that okay? Daniel chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, Wherefore
at
that
time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews.
Okay.
They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever.
Okay, read.
Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image.
Yeah, now there's a command. He's built a statue. Nebuchadnezzar, he said everybody's going to need to get down and bow to it. And this is Nebuchadnezzar, he's in power here. And so he's told the people that everybody going to bow down when they hear all this music playing. And then the Bible says what?
And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.
Yeah, now there's a penalty coming from not obeying this man. But let me just say this up front. You know, we ought to obey God rather than man. Is that right? Y'all understand that, right? Mm-hmm. In Romans chapter 13, we need to understand this as well before I go any further. In Romans chapter 13 and the verses number 1, the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Do y'all not know that the police department is in place for us? You know, I got stopped yesterday. I went through I was 30 mile an hour zone. I was at 40 and I wasn't paying attention, you know. But, you know, the first thing I did when he put the lights on me, I pulled over. The first thing I did, stop. That means lights mean stop. Y'all know that, right? So now I'm subject to it. He's at a higher power I am. He has the power of the law. Yeah. And he also carries a weapon. I got good sense. You know, my mom never ate no food. Not in this case. I pulled right on over. And the first thing I did was put my hands up there. Yes, sir. Why did I do that? I'm subject to him now. I'm subject to this law. This lawman. He have a badge, only has authority, and my job is to subject to the authority, because I broke the law. And I repent. Yeah, I learned better. I'm subject to the law.
And then he said, Mr. Brooks, can I have your light? I gave him a light. He said, Mr. Brooks, you got any weapons? I said, yes.
I'm licensed too. I put the license out there, so I'm subject to the laws. He said, don't move. I said, no, sir. And then, of course, he was a real guy, real nice guy. He wasn't picking on me. I'd done something I shouldn't have done. Yeah. Right?
That's right.
So he went back, and I wasn't concerned. I'm going to run a background. That's fine because I know my background is clean. Now, how many of you got a background clean? Now, that's why you ain't got to. See, here's the thing, but you know, y'all live in a way where you kind of keep your background clean. Yeah, mine was clean, and he looked over my license and looked at him and went back there and went over his thing. I saw him like that, kept my hand where he could see them too. Because he knew I had a weapon, right? He wrote me a ticket. He said, Mr. Brooks, man,
Yeah, what you been doing? I said, I went to a brother's meeting at the church and I played some golf afterwards. I'm on my way home. And he said, oh, okay. Said, we'll appreciate you. And he appreciated me for what I broke the law. He appreciated my conduct, my manner of respect. And I gave respect and I got respect. I didn't get shot. Mm-mm. Right?
Choked.
Why? Because I was subject to his power, which God put in place. See, God put him to keep me from getting killed by the guy who don't respect power. That's why there's a lawman. To protect those who are do according to the law. The law is for the lawless. When you break the law, that's what it's for. Somebody say defund them. Well, you can't. The court that already ruled on this matter. He said it right here. Let every soul be subject to the high power, for there is no power but of God. But he's under the power of God. I'm under the power of God. And then he says, the Bible says, whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. So if I had resisted and kept running, right, and got into a chase with him, I'm actually resisting the ordinance of God. God says, stop. All right, watch this now. Now, I know some of you have issue with this. I know you do, some of you Christians. Look at this. Some of you Christians. You want to think every police officer against black folk and hate them and going to kill them. That's what you think. God made all men of one blood. And there are black sinners and white sinners and brown sinners and pink sinners. Every one of us sin. Can't expect the men to be sinless. They're going to sin. Mess up. When they mess up, they are subject to the law. I'm subject to. Put them in jail if they do so. Put the cop back in jail. That's what you do. Put him in jail when he break the law. Amen. But when I call 911, I want him to come.
I do too.
Amen. If I'm trying to defend my family, I don't want to be having to, if I got a man out there authorized to defend me and my family, I'm going to call him. Man, yeah, no, you Christian, don't look at me funny now because I know some of you got some issues. Some of y'all got some racism issues, especially black folk. Some of you black people got black issues. Yeah, no, I'm not taking that back. Some of you want to go all the way back to slavery and blame everything on the white man. See, now some folk don't like Brother Brookford. Nah, that's what you want to do. But you're wrong about that. If a black life matter, well, let's say all lives matter. Don't that make more sense? I think so. Don't all souls matter? Absolutely. Black soul, white soul, blue soul. Every soul matters. That's what God sees. So be careful. Be real careful. Then he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will thou not then be afraid of the power?
Do that
which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. That's talking about power. That's talking about governmental officials and stuff. Those in higher powers, to thee, for good. But if thou do that which is evil, it's intended. You need to be afraid if you're breaking the law. And then he says what?
For he bears not the sword in vain.
Then that's why you get put in jail. That's a sword. They can lock you up. And then what?
For he is the minister of God.
Who's he ministering for?
God.
Okay. And God, a revenger to them, the execute wrath upon them that do it who?
Evil.
Applies to everybody. No matter if they're wearing the coat, the uniform, the police officer need to behoove this too. There are some crooked ones out there, but they got the answer to God. I guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get away with none of this stuff. No, sir. We don't have to seek revenge. God got the last say.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He got the last say. It doesn't matter who it is either. Let's go back to Daniel. I needed to deal with that right there a little bit. Don't you think that was good? All right. Well, say amen since you're reading for me. Make sure you stay with me. Amen. Well, I'm going to get down here in a minute. But I got to get to the good part. That's just the beginning. Where we at?
Verse 11.
Let's do verse 11. Whosoever falleth
not
down
and worshiped that he should be cast in the midst of the burning.
So this man of power saying, whoever it is, you're going to get thrown in there if you don't do this. But the Bible says what?
There are certain Jews
uh-huh.
whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon.
Yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
These are the three guys we're going to talk about. Read.
These men, O king, have not regarded thee.
Now, see, now that's where you draw the line. See, they drew the line. They respected him being the king. But when he told them to do something, go against God's will, that's where we draw the line at, right there. That's what they did. Now, we're going to serve God. They're not going to do that, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And fortunately, in America, we don't have people telling we can't worship. We don't have this issue. But if they were to tell us we got other issues, like they want us to adopt a same-sex marriage in church. No, we will not do that.
Amen.
You can enact any law from the Supreme Court down, but the Supreme Court that we answer to has already ruled on the matter. Mm-hmm. It ain't a Roe versus Wade. It's God versus man. And in that case, God always wins. Yeah. Come on.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage.
Oh, he's going to get upset when you don't go along with him. They do riots and everything else. Go ahead.
Commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
Then
upset.
They brought these men before the king.
Uh-huh.
Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?
Yeah. He want to question them. Watch what they say.
Now, if ye be ready,
he say, I'm gonna give
that
you
at what time
chance,
ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image
which I have made. Now, since y'all didn't do it, I'm going to give you a second chance. The devil will give you a chance over and over and over. You might get away with it this time. And he'll give you another time to do wrong. But eventually it's going to catch up with you. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people just continue. You got away with you. You slipped and the devil going to give you another chance. Now here it is. But he says,
worship not.
But if you don't do it this time.
Ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fire and furnace.
The fear. The fear is like you're going to have to die physically. So now do they fear physical death? Let's see. He says,
and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?
Nebuchadnezzar just had a dream, and Daniel came in and dreamed, but he still don't believe in God yet. Next chapter we'll look at next week, his whole kingdom, he's going to start eating like an animal. But he ain't got no sense right now. He just got a lot of power. But God allowed me in a power and show that to you. You know, the presidents and all these people, you think it's all because of your vote? Let me tell you, God put men in over human affairs. I'm going to show you that next week. He got a guy like Nebuchadnezzar who don't believe in the king. He's going to grow up to be the great one of the great kings over many kingdoms. But God going to cut him down to a stump. That's why I say, don't worry about the higher power. God can cut him down to stumps. That's next week. But anyway, then he says what?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
Now we don't have no fear, no reason to justify what we're going to do. There's no need. That would mean nothing. We have no reason to fear what we're going to do. When you know you're doing what's right to God, you don't have to go around apologizing to people. When you're doing what's right, just do what's right. And when you're doing what's right, you don't have no, he said, we don't have no, we're not careful to have to deal with this matter. But now here comes a couple things I want to point out. Verse 17.
If it be so.
Now, there's an if it be so in our belief system. Something's going to happen in our life if it be so. If it be so in our belief system means that when something's going on in our life, whether it's I call it a fiery furnace approach. I think a fiery furnace is up against you, a trial or tribulation, whatever you're getting ready to go through. If it be so, if you have to go through it, he said, but whom the God of whom we serve is able. That's my title right there. If it be so that we go through whatever we're going through in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our churches, in the world we live in our health situation, if it be so, is according to the will of God. God, if it be so, these men cannot be thrown in that furnace if God say no. But if it be so, they're going to go into the furnace. That's what I'm trying. We operate off the will of God. If it be so. It's going to happen. Listen to what he said. But if it be so, this is our faith. We have to understand there's a possibility of something to get ready to happen. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not.
Definitely.
Final answer. A Christian understands what I will not do. We will not what?
Serve thy
God. Thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not do it, and that's final. And then when you know you're going to stand with God, we will not do certain things, and that's final. I'm not leaving the church. That ought to be final in your mind as a minister. If you believe in the Church of Christ and the Bible is right, you will not leave it. Somebody said, Brother, pray for my family. We need to pray for those who left the truth, but they didn't believe it. When you believe in the God we serve, you don't leave the true church. Amen. Wow. It ain't but one church. It ain't but a few of us in the Church of Christ. Hold it to that truth. And I'm going to be one of them. I don't take it back. I don't apologize. Because that's what the Bible said. And so our belief ought to be final on some things. Final on the church. Final on baptism. Final on that the Bible is right. Final on taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Final on giving. Final on singing. No praise team. No drums. No, none of the choirs. None of that stuff. It's final. Forever, oh Lord. That word is settled in heaven. It's settled. And we ought to be settled on our belief, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, going from one church to another church, one congregation. You don't like what's going on here, so you go somewhere else because you're not settled. When you're settled, you stick with the truth and hold to it. I'm on Christ, the solid rock I stand.
All other ground.
Every other ground is singing sand. That's Brooks there. I'm not moving for people. I fear nobody. And I fear no faces, as Jeremiah said. You say, why you say it like that, Brother Brooks? Because you got to know who you're sitting under. You're sitting under Brother Brooks. This is where I stand on matters. Somebody said, Brother Brooks, you're going to lose a member. I don't have a member. I don't have not one member. I am a member. But I have no members. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. I need to set some matters straight. A lot of folk running around talking, we lose a member. I had not one member at this church. Not one did I add to the church. Nope. And I ain't lost one. Mm-hmm. Man, but praise be to God, they find somewhere they can serve in spirit and in truth. That's the most important thing to me. You know how you have the hands of helping people be saved and help them be saved, and I pray they stay saved. But at the end of the day, it was their choice to be saved, and it's their choice to stay saved.
Amen.
And if Hollow Heights ain't where they can be saved, and I hope they're listening to me, my hat's off to you. Do what's best for your soul. Amen. And that applies to everybody who listens to me. Because the day I don't think it's good for me to be here, I'm gone. What do you say, Brother Brooks? And my soul is more important than you. Yeah. Yeah, some of you want to. See, you can always blame, look back, and say what woulda, shoulda, coulda, did it. And, you know, I'm the target. I know how you, when you stand before folk, you got to know. I've been in church long enough to know that I got the bullseye on me. If it goes right, I get a little credit. Go bad, I'm going to get all the credit. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. But anyway, but I will not. I will not move on my belief system as it is. And I look you in your eye, stand flat footed, and tell you that to your face. I'm not moving for you. Because you don't like the way I did it. And your point. Or do you get mine? You need to get mine. What are you doing, Brother Brooks? Every member here need to understand where I stand on these conversations y'all having. Be it not. But he said, but if not.
Be it known.
But if not. Now, there's a but if not in our faith. There's a if it be so, it's going to happen. And it's fine, right? Mm-hmm. But if not, so here they are, he said, if not, you be known, if this don't end up like I want it to end up the way I think it should end up, he said, if it don't happen that way, O King, we will not serve that God. There's if it be so in our faith, and if it be not in our faith. serve thy God, nor worship the image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury,
and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and the other garments.
Put them in with all their clothes on.
And they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.
Get the strongest men to do it. Make sure ain't nobody can't get away. Mm-hmm. These three Jew Hebrew boys, the Jew boys here. And look what he says.
Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
All right. Uh-huh.
And then these three men.
Now, this is God already responding.
Shadrach, Meshach, and
y'all see, God is already making his move. He already and showed them the power. The fire ain't got no power when you're throwing in. It got more power on people outside than it is when you get ready to put in there. See, God is already showing through your life he has power to move things around and make them work for you. See what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't give credit for God moved some things around and made them work for us. You understand that? When you start looking at God working, like look back and see how many times God moved some things around and made it work for you. He said, what did he do? He moved some things. He moved the men who were going to throw them away out of the way, show them, hey, them my boys. I'll take care of it. That's what he was saying. Them his children. See, when you God's child, you don't have to worry about nothing. God's going to take care of you. And when your enemy come at you one way, when God get through whooping them, they'll leave 7 different ways naked. God can whoop an enemy naked. Don't worry about who doing you wrong, who did you wrong, who going to do you wrong. You just serve God and watch God work in your life. Don't tell me this ain't no good preaching, because we all need to know God can work in our life. And no matter what I'm going through in this life, God can move it, make it a better day for me. What I'm going through in my night, God can move that night and make it a daylight for me. Don't you know God is able? I'm saying our God we serve is able. That's what I'm talking about today. He's able. Yes, sir. And notice what he said. These men you got.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
They did.
Fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.
If it be so. They in there. It was God's. That's God's will. Somebody said, Brother Brooke, do you understand the will of God will allow to, how do God allow bad things to happen to good people? That's the question. God's will is his will. We submit to his decision. None of us would die if it was our decision. But there's coming a day when God said, you're going to die, whether it be shot, killed, in a car wreck, or whatever. The appointment is going to be made. And there's no age on it. And so you say, well, do you want to serve God? Because it's all in his will. It's a choice. Whatever, if it be so, it's going to happen if God allows it. Right? Mm-hmm. Now look at this, he says.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished.
Yeah, he was all super.
And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?
You think he's seeing something.
They answered and said, O king.
Yeah.
Said unto the king, true, O king.
Uh-huh.
He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking around in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt.
He think he's delusional now. God working this thing, ain't he? He got him. He was giving all the commands earlier. Now he's asking a lot of questions. See, folk in this life, you don't understand, when you're a child of God and things are going in your favor, folk will start asking a lot of questions. Man, how you holding on like that? You know, lost your loved one like that. How you holding on with cancer in your body? How you staying so strong and looking so good and fighting that cancer, that chemotherapy? How is it that you fighting so good and you know you need a kidney transplant? Well, how you doing all this, man? How you doing this? See, so he's getting the attention of the man who didn't understand who God was. Then he answered and said, Lord, I see 4. And he said, one of them even look like who?
The 4th is like the Son of God.
Yeah, then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace.
And spake and said, Shadrach,
Meshach,
and
Abednego. Now he talked to them. Now he throw them in there. Now he want to talk to them. Now you see how things ties are turning here right about now, don't you think? Mm-hmm. He done seen something going on that he didn't understand. He said, hold on, now guys, now Shadrach, you service, well now he done identified who they serve.
You see how the conclusion came pretty quick? Mm-hmm. He understood that somebody, the God they served, had a power over this fire. That's what they understand. How do you understand God? Does God have the power over your fire? What fire are you in right now? Do God have the power over the fire in your relationship, the fire in your marriage, the fire in your home, the fire on your job? Is it going up through the financial situation you're going through, the fire over the disease that got you in the hospital or in ICU or whatever it is? Does God have power over that fire? What's the question? What's the answer, church?
Yes.
Our God who is able, who we serve is able. And then he says what?
Said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God,
yeah,
come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth.
Now they obeyed him the first time. Now this time they said, he come to him. He said, oh, yeah, okay. He said, come forth. They come right to him. Mm-hmm. He ain't asking them to do something against God's will this time. See, so when the enemy started looking at you and started wanting to question you, you gone and rebelled. Notice what happened.
And the princes, governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, yeah, being gathered together, uh-huh, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power.
That's my point right there. The fire had no power.
Nor
the hair
on their head singed.
Neither were their coats changed. Notice this.
The smell of
they
fire
didn't even smell like no. Now, that means to me, if I had my boy working, I hope it's going to get working soon. I'm going back to somebody asking me, yeah, where you boy? I'm hoping, praying, they hear up and get that thing up and running. I would draw a big old circle around you and say, you need to be protected from the fires of life. The fires of life, God can hedge. Y'all remember Job, right? Mm-hmm. Remember Job and Job chapter? We don't have time to go there. But Job, the devil wanted to go to Job, but he had to ask God. God, he said, nah, I can't get to Job. God said, hey, have you considered my man Job? He said, nah, you got that circle around him. You got a hedge around him. See, I want to be that child that God said, hey, hold on, have you thought about Brooks? Yeah, I want the devil to have to respond. You seal him. I can't get to him. See, when you know the God you serve is going to seal you, then you want to be a servant to that God. I'm going to show you that in a second. He says, then he says this. Listen to you. We're getting to a close here.
Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
yeah,
who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word.
Now, the king even understood why God responded. He said they trusted in him. And that's it. And the king's word. And yielded their bodies. They were willing to die.
That they might not serve nor worship any god except
their own. So he said they denied the worship when I got them. They served their god. He said, therefore, I'm going to make a decree.
That every people, that nation, language, decree, which speak any thing amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego
shall be cut
into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
That's it. Y'all see the story? But here's what I want to close with. Our God whom we serve is able, y'all. He's the same God that Adam was created by Adam. He's the same God that Abraham, that provided Abraham a lamb in the bush. He's the same God that was the great I am for Moses. When Moses stood at the Red Sea and said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Our God who we serve is able because he is the God of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 10, God stopped the sun in midair and the moon stood still in the valley of Ajalon. Our God is a God of whom we serve, Abel, as he was for Hezekiah, who was sick and near to death. And God turned the sundial back 10 degrees and gave him 10 more years. Our God is our shepherd. He's our shelter in the time of a storm. Our God is able because he's our doctor when the doctors don't know what else to do. He's our lawyer when we've been falsely accused. Our God is able. He's our defense against the enemies. He's our fortress when we need protection. He's our deliverer in a time of trouble. He's our first and present help in a time of need. He's our comforter when we lost loved ones. We're going through bereavement. He's our God of second chances when we need another step.
start. When we need a new beginning, he's a new beginning for the crack addict, a new beginning for the alcoholic, a new beginning for those who've hit rock bottom, a new beginning for those homes that are torn apart. God is the answer, because our God whom we serve is able.
Amen.
Our God whom we serve is God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His son, Jesus the Christ, who came to the world to give men a hope of eternal life. That son who walked among men for about 33 years, who would be bruised and battered and hung on an old rugged cross. Our God who we serve is able. He's able, you all. He was able to get him up. When they took him down off the cross, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. God raised him up from the dead. And he got up with all power. And said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Our God is able. And I encourage you today that you seek the God to whom you're going to serve. But I'm telling you, I'm pointing you to Abraham's God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. That's the God I'm showing you about.
Amen.
The God of Jesus, the Christ, who can seal you. You say, Brother Bruce, what is our hedge? What is our seal? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It's to those who trust and obey him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says there, he going to get it. He thought I was finished, but he'll know next time not to close the book.
In whom ye also trusted.
Yeah.
That ye heard
now,
the word.
He said, in whom ye also trusted that you. Number one, he said, you got to trust that this is right. You got faith come by hearing by the word of God. How many of y'all trust in this book? You trust it to be right, then trust it enough to obey it. He said, whom what?
The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after
the gospel
that
of their salvation is the story of the blood, Jesus suffering on the cross and shedding blood to save our soul. You trust he can do that?
Amen.
You trust in this truth? This is what he says.
In whom also that ye believe you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Now there's a seal. See, what it is, when you get baptized, you are sealed. God puts that protective hedge. Hezekiah couldn't got to them boys unless God allowed it. And what he thought he was going to do to them, he wasn't able to do it. See, the devil can't get to you if you get sealed. And what they think, the devil think he can do for you, he know that if you get sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, you get sealed when you're baptized. Yeah, amen. We're baptized for the remission of sins. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit is going to come in here. The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He seals you from dying in your sin. If you stay with God, you won't die in your sin. Don't mean you ain't going to go through no troubles in life. Don't mean you're going to have no trials in life. Don't mean you won't have no fiery furnaces. Don't mean none of that. What that means is that you're sealed and protected. Your soul is okay with the Lord. How many are okay with the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Are you okay with the Lord? Here's what you need to do. Number one, you got to hear the gospel. I talked about it at the beginning of the sermon and at the end. That's that death, burial, and resurrection story. You got to believe it, number two, all of your heart. Hebrews 11 and 6. Number three, you got to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God, number four. And then be baptized, number five, Acts 2:38, Mark 16, 15 to 16, Matthew 28, 18, 1 Peter 3, 21, Acts 22, 16. All these scriptures reference baptism for the remission of sins and salvation. When you do that, you have joined the force that's able. Who is that for us? Our God. Let's say that together. Our God, whom we serve, is able. How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
I hope I built your faith this morning. I hope you walk out and say, I know I'm going through this stuff, but this I leave this morning with this one message in my mind. The God I serve is able. And if you want to come, I want you to come. If you want to come to be baptized, clothes are ready, angels on standby. We got everything ready. Water's ready. It's in there. If you want to come, if you want to call out there listening to us, you contact the administrators of our call. They'll be on the call. Our brothers are working the call. They're gonna get you on here in just a minute. They're gonna let you talk to them. Tell them if you want to get baptized. Tell them you want to be saved. Tell them you want to be want to serve the God who is able, and we'll make those arrangements for you no matter where you are. If you're in the local Houston area, you can be a member of the Church of Christ. The Lord adds to the church, but you don't have to serve here. You can serve in any Church of Christ you want to serve in. That's what it's all about. It's about being saved, and that's the bottom line. The bottom line is let's do what we got to do to be saved. Our God, whom we serve,
is able.
able. Amen. Come as together we stand and sing.